T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sean Devaney is with us, covers the NBA, of course, heavy.com, Forbes as well. Sean, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Sean, obviously, you know, this is unusual circumstances for everybody. How do you think the NBA has handled their plan to return, just in general and compared to other sports?
I think that they've been a little bit ahead of other sports in terms of how they've been able to handle it, because the way that the NBA is set up, the way the collective bargaining agreement is set up, is that every dollar that comes in is pretty much split 50-50 between owners and players. So there's a lot of incentive on owners' part to get back out there, but the equal incentive is there on the players' part. You didn't have that in baseball, you know, which is a more traditional structure where the owners make money and then decide how much to pay the players. They have a structure to pay the players that way. But this is much more of a partnership. And so you've had a real situation where the players, at least the star players, the ones who are going to really stand to lose a lot of money, they have been on board with this from day one. So I think in that context, the NBA has done pretty well. What it probably didn't do well enough is listen to the rank and file. You know, listen to the guys who aren't LeBron James and Chris Paul. Guys like that. You know, guys who are making, you know, $6, $7, $8 million. Who, you know, are looking at the comeback and what they stand to make and what they stand to lose, and saying, I'm not sure that this is worth it to be away from my family and to put my health at risk. So, some positives there for the NBA. Definitely some negatives as well.
No doubt. Good points. I think another advantage they had over baseball in particular is they weren't trying to play a whole season or their full season.
Right.
Where baseball is, it makes it a little trickier. What do you think of the way they've decided to make that cut at 22, the way they're deciding on the 8 seed? Do you like those?
Well, they wanted to get Zion Williamson involved. Yeah. Let's face it, that they want to get him. They want to get a first-round series with him and the Lakers, as opposed to Memphis or somebody else, whether it's Sacramento or whoever. I think what the NBA did is they look at the situation and they saw how much money they stood to lose by not trying to finish the season. And they tried to figure out, okay, what's the best way we can balance having as few teams there as possible and having some sort of safety mechanism in place while still maximizing the amount of money we can salvage from all this. And that's basically what we're going to see. Is we're going to see, I don't want to call it a money grab necessarily. That sounds a little crass, but it's pretty close. this is let's rescue as much revenue as we can and try to put on a good TV show. There won't be fans in the stands, but we'll try to put on a good TV show for the broadcasters and for people who have been really eager to see this.
Sean, what do you think is the most difficult part for the players with the bubble?
Obviously, look, I can't imagine what they are dealing with in terms of being without their families at least until the end of the first round of the playoffs, and that'll eliminate 14 teams right there. So most of the guys who are going down there are going to be back before they are gone. That long. I don't know that that's necessarily the thing. I think for me, it's probably team play. It's probably on the floor. It's probably, how do I get that back? How do I limit the propensity I would have to be injured because when you try to rush back, we saw this in the lockout a couple years ago. I guess it's been 9 years ago now, but we saw that in a lockout in 2011 that there was a spike in ACL injuries, and that's got to be a real concern for me as a player if I'm going back out there. Is I'm going to be real careful about my body because especially if you're getting close to free agency, you don't want to be coming off an ACL injury in a situation like that.
In terms of just the season itself, who comes in as the favorite? I mean, you think the Lakers are still the favorite? You like the Bucks? I mean, who the Clippers possibly? Like, when it comes to on the court itself, who do you think is the favorite?
It's tough. You know, I mean, I believe Vegas now has moved the Lakers to the favorite spot. And I would actually probably have demoted them a little bit because of Avery Bradley not being there, and he's such a big, important part of what they do. So, I don't know that I necessarily would count the Lakers as the favorite. I think having a guy like LeBron is certainly going to be something that will be an advantage for them, but so will having Giannis Antetokounmpo if you're the Bucks. And I think the Bucks, you know, they've also got a lot of chemistry. You know, this is a team that's mm-hmm. been together pretty much for 2 years. I don't think it'll be as difficult for them to come back and recreate the chemistry that they had back in March. You know, I think that it'll be easier for them because they are so familiar with each other. So, I think if that's an advantage for the Bucks, I think the Clippers, if you're comparing them to the Lakers, I think this is an advantage for the Clippers because they're able to get healthy. One, they haven't been healthy all year. They played something like 18 games with their starting five through that first part of the season. So, this will be a big win for them just in terms of getting healthy. But then you also consider that every game played in the Staples Center, whether it's a Clippers home game or a Lakers home game, is a Lakers home game. You know, there's so many more Lakers fans, and they were facing that in the Western Conference Finals. If the Clippers and Lakers were to play there, they're not going to have to deal with that on a neutral site in Orlando. So, you know, to me, that's an advantage for the Clippers. So, the Lakers will come in as the favorite, no question, but I think they're a much weaker favorite than they might have been before all this happened.
In general, and Sean Devaney's with us, NBA writer for Forbes and Heavy.com on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. In general, the idea of playing in front of no fans, is that how big an adjustment will that be for the players, like not having that crowd noise and that energy to kind of help them along?
It's going to be like playing an NCAA tournament, you know, and especially those first rounds where you don't have necessarily the bulk of your fan base there. And we see what happens in an NCAA tournament when a 14 seed upsets a 3, right? It's going to put things at on a much different footing. I think it's going to allow for more upsets. It's going to create a much, much different atmosphere. They could try to pipe in crowd noise. I think that's something that would be for TV. It's not going to be something for, they're not going to do that. You know, it's not going to be something that's going to be effective for the players. So, it's a great question. There's so much about this that's just going to be new and different. And like I said, they're going to try to put on a good TV show. That's going to be the top priority. Without fans there, it's going to have to be like players mic'd up and things like that, coaches mic'd up. We're going to have to hear a lot more of that sort of thing because we're not going to have, this is not going to be business as usual. It's going to be a completely different kind of game because of the things that you're talking about here.
Do you think the game's going to be like not what we're used to? You think it's going to be bad play? I mean, they're all good players, but you think it could be sloppy at first?
Yeah, I think, especially people forget that, referees get in game shape too, not just in terms of running up and down the floor, although that's part of it. But at the beginning of the season, you'll see a lot of bad calls from refs and they get better as the year goes on. It's going to be really hard for them because you can't, if you're a player, you can at least go out in your yard and play pickup games, and the referees can't go play pickup referee, right? I mean, they can't go in their yard and just practice, calling charges and blocks. I think the referees are going to be a real, that's going to be a real factor here as well. So, I expect it to, at least in the beginning, almost look like summer league, you know, where it's just really sloppy, it's disjointed, and it's going to take a little while. And I think if you're the NBA, and certainly if you're some of the favorite teams here, you're hoping that by the time the playoffs do start after those eight games, the eight seeding games, that everything is a lot smoother and looks a lot more like it did on March 11th when we left this off.
Sean, my partner in the last segment admitted that he's never seen the movie American Gangster. I can already tell you he's never seen the movie Braveheart either. What would you say about that?
Well, he's got a couple movies to watch this weekend. I mean, you can't go to much, you know, there's no barbecues or anything. So you've got a couple movies to watch, I would say.
Sean, we appreciate the time, man. Yeah, thanks for joining
us. Awesome.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.